everybody. Welcome to the Francast. This is a show where we talk about everyone's favorite show from the 90s, The Nanny. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Larry's here.
Hello.
And Colleen is here.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about episodes 10, 11, and 12 of season 5. We're already halfway through season 5. Can you believe it?
Wow. That was
fast. I know. It's crazy.
It really is. It really is. Next week, we are going to be doing 2 episodes. They're pretty big episodes. And then we're going to do an entire episode on the engagement, which is so exciting. So get ready.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this episode from Flushing with Love. And basically in this first episode, we have Fran decides that she is going to take Maxwell to Niagara Falls for the fine family reunion. And she's hoping that the magic of Niagara is going to convince him to propose. And so he goes and he actually does propose, but it's so loud. And the falls are so wet that she doesn't hear. And so it's all for naught. But overall, what did you think of this episode, Larry?
I thought it was a fun episode. The the Niagara Falls stuff is wild. But Fran particularly, I thought, had some really fun lines in this one.
Mm-hmm. I actually really like all 3 of these episodes. They're definitely all 3 kind of over the top, but I was laughing, so I enjoyed all 3, especially the next one, personally. That was hilarious. But Colleen, what did you think?
I liked this one as well. I thought it was funny. I liked the Niagara Falls part. I actually liked the whole thing, but it was, the Niagara Falls was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it too. I'm glad you all liked it. So he starts off with Niles and Fran both asking for time off. And again, we have this animosity between Niles and Mr. Sheffield, which is kind of strange. I don't really understand it. I don't think it's that funny. I don't understand why they both can't have time off. They have different jobs. Like, I don't understand why they both need to be there, or one of them needs to be there. They can both be gone. Right?
I mean, right. I guess I figured they just, I don't know, where he needed someone to do something. I don't know. It's very weird. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one weekend. The man can handle himself. And I mean, because I don't think Niles ever watches the children or helps with the children. So I don't really understand why her having the time off is a problem. It doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, so he's kind of upset. And you did get the Cece and Niles working together, which was really funny, I thought.
Mm-hmm. That was cute.
Yeah.
I know Niles really went there for his revenge on Fran.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure. It was a lot.
Yeah, and Cece, you don't get to see a domestic squabble between actual domestics. Yeah, why can't we be friends? The whole montage was really funny. Yes.
I love particularly when he cuts her lipstick. I just think it's funny he's holding those scissors.
That's so funny.
Yeah. what did you think of the whole scene with Dr. Miller and the graduate homage?
Oh my gosh. Really?
Do you think I'm trying to seduce you?
She was like eating that fruit.
Yeah.
The Graduate is one of those movies that doesn't hold up all that well in on a lot of levels, but it does look nice. But it's one of those movies where I feel like the screenplay doesn't realize the most interesting character of the movie is, we don't care about Dustin Hoffman's character, and we don't care about whatever her name is, the daughter. She's boring. Mrs. Robinson is obviously the most interesting right. character of the story, and the movie doesn't understand that. That's my opinion, at least. But they find out about the magic of the of Niagara Falls, and it's getting proposed to. It's like buying real estate. Location, location, location. And so she decides that she needs to get Mr. Sheffield to Niagara Falls. And it says Mr. Sheffield would rather eat a bowl of leeches than go to the reunion. And she says that you do know you could get thrown about. And he says, I'm quite comfortable on boats. And he says, I was talking about the buffet line.
Yes.
Have either of you ever been to Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Yes, I have as well.
But I never did the Maid and the Mist voyage. I know you could do that. I never did that. The boat. I just looked from up top. I don't really care for it. I hate to say it, it's pretty, but I think the rest of the town is boring. It's too touristy.
Too kitschy.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't been since I was in high school, so it's been a while.
It got worse. It's as far as like, yeah, trying to get tourists, it's just like they say, souvenir after souvenir after souvenir. I mean, that's all it is to me, is souvenir shops. Although I haven't been there in like over 15 years, so maybe it's better, but I doubt it.
I mean, as far as I remember, it's been that long for me as well. So I was, because we used to go up to New York State all the time, because my aunt and uncle lived there in Albany. And so we would take a little trip up to Niagara Falls at least a couple times.
It was only like 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours from Cleveland. So it was like something people would do regularly who were from my area. So
it was that close, huh, to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About three, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to get over the border, because you got to go to the Canadian side.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about the East Coast is everything is so close.
We were like 2.5 hours from Detroit, and the opposite way you could get to Niagara Falls. Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Because you can like go from Baltimore to Philadelphia to New York City. If you wanted to, you could basically like make a day of it. People think that it's so different than in the West where everything's so spread out.
Right. And people live, I mean, some people commute, you know, to New York City from Philadelphia on the train.
Oh, yeah.
Or definitely. Or Connecticut or whatever. Yep. Yeah.
Most people in Connecticut. That's true. That was always my beef with Chesapeake Shores.
Remember.
Yeah, on Chesapeake Shores, the one girl wants to marry the one guy and move to her family in Philadelphia. And the family lives in Chesapeake Shores in Maryland. And I'm just like, that's like not even moving.
I know, it's so close.
It's like a morning.
They made it like cross country. Like it was cross country.
There's like they were moving to Kuwait or something. And I'm like, what? Can literally see each other whenever you want. It's ridiculous. Anyway, that is for another podcast. Just be sure. I mean, I think we've all grown kind of nostalgic for the whole idea of like family reunions and stuff like that, or like group settings. I need them, but
I don't know about the family reunion, but I need a group. I need friends. I need to be around friends, but I don't necessarily. No, that's not right. My close family, some of my immediate family, but not all of them.
I mean, I think that family reunions can be fun, but we have a lot of strong personalities in my family, so it was always an adventure. And I think the France family is the same.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. You're Larry. In your job, do you do like family reunions and stuff like that, or what kind of is it all work?
No, it's mostly company events.
Yeah. So you don't get to see the drama.
No, and we don't really do like staffed catering. We just kind of send the food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So I don't have to serve or anything. I'm just in the office talking to people, setting stuff up.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. When I was, for years, my brother owned a catering business. He doesn't anymore, but he would see all you would, I used to help work. I'd do like events on the weekends every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Some of the things you should see. I mean, it wasn't like, I've never seen anything completely outrageous, but you could see when people start drinking. At weddings,
I mean, thankfully we don't have that
and stuff. People at baptism parties. Oh my gosh, the liquor!
Oh, yeah. Thankfully we don't have that dynamic in my family. Woo, that would be adventurous. But yeah, the worst one that we ever did was the Rockin' Our Ranch in Atimony, Utah, middle of nowhere. And all they had to do was ride the horses. And that's just not me. And in fact, I spent almost the entire trip watching The Nanny with my sister in our room.
That's so funny.
I went on the horse one time and I thought it was going to be just like around the track, like clip, clop, clop around. No, we went like down a ravine and stuff. And I was terrified. And the only reason I didn't get off the horse and cry uncle was because my little brother, who's 16 years younger than me, was on the horse ahead. She was like 8, you know, and I'm like, I can't be wimpier than my like under 10-year-old brother.
I'm glad he was there to motivate you.
Yeah.
I'm not a horse person either. I know they're popular, but it's not my thing.
No, it was the worst. But anyway, yeah, that was one of my fondest nanny watching experiences, actually. So
Rachel, I saw you holding that little puppy and thought, maybe this should be a more permanent fixture.
Oh, I know. That is the nicest puppy you have ever seen. I have to say, it even though his name is Thunder, he is so sweet and just quiet. And just, I'm like, if I could get one like this, maybe it'd be worth it. I liked the aunt, I think it was, who says, I have an idea for a Broadway show. And he says, what is it? He says, it takes place in Connecticut. And he says, that's it? You're not bringing anything to the table?
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. Yeah.
That's a very weird, like, trick, though. How do you feel about her, like, little skill? Her little musical
weird
skill.
I don't know what else to say other than weird.
Were you a fan, Rachel?
I can't even remember. What was this? What was the
she
skill?
She plays the spoons on
her. Oh, yeah.
Rachel.
That was funny. I like that.
He's like, oh, I liked your rendition of whatever he said. And she's like, no, gosh, no, I rushed it. It was supposed to be, I can't even remember now, but yeah.
Well, we usually have a talent show in my family reunions, and they're usually fairly tame. The best thing we ever did, though, was we got my dad and my uncles all doing the Four Yorkshiremen skit from Monty Python, and it was killer. It was really funny.
That's awesome.
So. So then they go through the falls, and she doesn't hear him propose. Like, has amnesia, thinks he's the butler, and has a crush on the nanny. Thank God I remembered who I was before anything happened. Oh, yeah, Aunt Midge on the spoons.
Yeah, Aunt Midge. There you go. That was the other one that he picks up thinking is like Gracie.
The only thing that was amiss in this episode was, I feel like, Yetta. No Yetta. She would have been hilarious.
And it was a family reunion. She definitely should have been on that boat.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically she's not a fine.
No, but
cause she's,
I don't know. You'd think
Sylvia's mother,
would
but
bring her along.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that could have led to some really funny stuff.
Right.
With Yetta. So it was a pretty funny episode. Fran says to Niles, I think you looked great last Halloween when you went as Tootsie. That was good.
Yeah, I love what he told her when she says that she has to go find something to put on or whatever. And he's like, that must have been a 3-second scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Yes. That's good. Or when he,
oh, something when he smutty on, or slutty or something.
Yeah, yeah. Skimpy.
Yeah.
And then when he turns on Cece at the end and she's like, you're Niles, you got to throw out the riffraff or whatever. And she's like, I would, but I can't lift you. And then poor Miss Babcock is betrayed.
It was what it was, and now it's over. I wish they'd shown their poetry. I mean, their pottery. Their, what they had done in their pottery.
But I did love the end where she gives freaking Val those little kebab things for the corn. She's just like, oh, yeah, well, better save for special.
That was funny.
But as you talked about with Mr. Sheffield, like, you cleaned enough. It's time to rest. When he's pretending or thinking he's the butler.
Right. Yeah. That was funny. And there was a lot of fashion in this episode.
Gosh, that montage. Every time they do montages, my hand is just like, trying to, like, keep up.
Yeah. And luckily, if you need help, the FranFine database is very helpful. It's my newest favorite tool. And so it starts out with she's wearing a black coat with red trim, which I thought was actually quite cute. And it's, that's Moschino. And it, then she has a checkerboard blazer and a black shirt and a white headband.
Or as Colleen likes to say, the Freddie Mercury leotard, because that's the exact same pattern. I'm sure you know that picture.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can picture it. Yes. It's called, yeah. They call it the Harlequin outfit. That's what they call it. I guess that's the pattern. It's called Harlequin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It looked really good. You have to be so skinny to pull off that kind of checkerboard.
And I love her jacket.
Fred
I thought
and
it was
Freddie
really
Mercury
cute.
Both were very skinny. So
yes, yeah, they were. There you go.
And then she briefly has a purple like velvet dress. It was hard. She's kind of hunched over, so it was hard to see it very well. But and then she wears her purple robe with the flowers, and then a navy blue suit skirt combo outfit. And then she has a black shirt skirt with flowers and a red feather collar, which she loves. A red and black is one of her favorites.
Loves those fur collars as well.
Yeah.
And this was a dramatic fur, though. It wasn't matte. It was a dramatic up top.
Yeah, that's true. It was big, red, and puffy. And then she has that red puffy jacket, the red coat that she's worn a bunch of times from Nemus Marcus. Oh. Is the name. Dina for Nemus Marcus is what it says. And then she has a yellow satin skirt suit with a black lining. And black buttons with a black bob wig. Of all of the wigs, this is like more, I think, tolerable than some of the other ones. But I still prefer her I prefer her big hair over this wig.
Yeah, it's just always kind of jarring when she wears these little bob wigs. I don't know.
It's way better than the mullet wigs, which I hate. They're so ugly. I didn't really like this look, this yellow.
No.
It looked kind of cheap, like the fabric or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looked like it kind of got uncomfortable to me. And then she has an all-white suit with, again, a fluffy collar, and she has the earmuffs. And it looked like, oh, it's going to get so dirty. Yep. I was like, why are you wearing that? You look at the kind of thing you'd wear to Aspen more than Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
It was a weird choice.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
I mean, it was cute, but it was a weird choice for the occasion.
Yeah. And then she ends with one of the mullet wigs, which I hate so much, her final wig, and then this like striped print dress with long
the
sleeves.
Weird dress. Like,
it was really ugly.
And it said on what Fran wore, it said Todd Oldham, but it doesn't look like him at all.
Oh, it's awful.
It was so brown, and like Fran looks good in bright colors. She does not look good in like beige.
And part of it was paisley, and that paisley was not cute. Like some paisleys are okay. It was just so dull.
Yeah. And she's the lady in red when everyone else is wearing tan.
Right.
So overall, what would you give this episode, Colleen?
I'm going to go with an 8. I like this one.
What about you, Larry?
I am also going to go with an 8.
I will make it an even. I will also go with an 8.
All right.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So then we have the next episode is called Rash to Judgment, and Fran decides that she's going to ask Mr. Sheffield on a date. She gets a invitation to, well, she kind of steals Val's invitation to Michael Bolton's opera album release. And on the day of the date, she gets a terrible rash, and I really thought this episode was funny. I mean, it's definitely over the top and ridiculous, but like every time she's like scratching herself all over and like rubbing on people to scratch made me laugh, and just everything was funny. I thought for the most part it made me laugh. Do you agree, Larry?
This was a really funny episode. I agree.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Good. I'm glad you got it.
We got that gag, that age-old gag. He's back at the department, at the drugstore, everything. Yeah. And it was all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it starts out with them eating soup and Sylvia sticking to her diet. And she's added some seasoning to give it flavor. And they're like, what's that? Tortellini. That was funny. And so, yeah, Val gets these tickets to Michael Bolton's opera album. And then, like, Fran just kind of takes them, which was rude.
I was going to say, that was the one thing is I don't know. We don't even get, like, a reaction from Val.
No.
Like, we don't. Right. She just steals them and goes.
That, like, was not cool.
How did she even get them in her possession? Like, it just was all like, oh, wow. Okay.
Well, and Val starts talking and she says, that I'm no genius, but blah, 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 blah. I can't remember what she said. And then Fran's like, you really don't need to add the I'm no genius.
Oh, part. Yeah, that was Sylvia who told her that. Sylvia just
went in. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. That was pretty rude of Fran. I think she could have figured out her own date.
Yeah, it was like, okay.
But
I'm also I don't know. I know she loves celebrities and all, but I think it's funny that she just like always going on these dates with with like celebrities. Like it's always a celebrity date, and she's never the most poised around celebrities for a date.
No.
Yeah, like you think she would start small in her asking Mr. Sheffield out, like. But, you know, she's just very over the top, so.
Michael Bolton is personally quite a letdown from Elton John. I forgot until this episode how much I dislike Michael Bolton. I never liked him. I never understood the appeal when he was a big deal. I just never understood it. I still don't. Yeah. 20 years later.
I think it was a mistake to cut the hair, though. I mean, come on.
Oh, no. I'm glad he cut it.
That mullet you like, Rachel. Oh.
Not a mullet.
I don't know. It was kind of mullet-like.
Oh, I just never I liked hate his the mullet. Voice. I mean, physically was one thing, but his voice, I was just never a fan.
Yeah.
Just putting it all out there.
And I'm glad you liked the hair, Rachel, but I also was not a fan of that Michael Bolton hair.
The short or long or both?
The long.
I didn't mind the short hair. I thought he looked fine. His physical appearance in the episode was fine. Just don't sing. I'm good if you don't sing.
I think he's okay, singer. But I will always love Michael Bolton for in Office Space.
Oh, that's funny.
It's named Michael Bolton.
That was funny.
He's like, I don't even like the music.
That is funny.
To the Bobs. That's my favorite. I don't know. I think he's okay. I don't hate him, but he's not like my favorite or anything. But anyway, yeah, she loves particularly these kinds of, I don't know, these kinds of crooners, I feel like, Fran.
Yeah.
Really. Because I'd even put kind of Barbara in that kind of crooning,
yeah,
kind
love,
of, you know, like.
She can sing. She can still sing. I mean, I haven't heard her in the last few years, but I saw her in concert like in the last 10 years. She was fantastic. Yeah. Yes.
Like it's a similar like adult contemporary though is what I'm saying. Like
yeah,
that
I
kind
like
of
a lot of
style.
That. But Michael's to me not the par of some of the others.
Yeah.
And I mean it takes a lot of gall too to like think you can record an opera album.
True.
Yeah, and it was not opera at all. So I don't know. Did he really do that
he was
in real life?
An Italian opera. I don't know. I was gonna ask you guys if you knew the answer to that.
I mean, like I said, it takes a lot of self-assurance, I guess, to think you can record an opera album coming from not an opera background, being a pop singer or, you know, not just pop, really, any other genre of music, and to think you can just come out and sing an opera album, that's a lot of gall.
I mean, does that just mean you're singing an opera? That you're singing the opera songs, not really singing with an operatic voice. Like, that's how tried to do.
You guys, so he really did do a opera album called My Secret Passion, The Arias.
Oh!
And this was released in 1998. And one of the reviews I just saw on looking online, it says Michael Bolton should have confessed his secret passion to his shower stall. Instead, he has released a CD.
So this was a cross promotion, right? To help him promote his
album. 1998. Yeah. That would have been.
Wow. I did not.
See, yeah, that always makes it a little less fun to me too, I will say. Like Elton John, I don't know, did he really have a documentary? He was just kind of having fun, just promoting.
Right. I think he did. Yeah, I actually have heard of Tantrums and Tears.
Because this was released in 1998, this episode, January 1998. That's when the album was released.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. Yeah. They worked Elton's self-promotion in a lot better. Same thing even with Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, that perfume had been around for God knows how long at that point.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really like a new product. It's a little bit less fun when the cross promotion is so blatant.
Yeah, I agree. That's very true. This one has an 8 on Rotten. I mean, not on Rotten Tomatoes, on IMDb, by the way. And the last one has 7.7.
Oh.
So. Yeah. And this episode is great. It's just that his cameo added like nothing. Like he didn't really add much.
No.
He wasn't that fun or anything. He was just there. He sang a song and that was it.
Yeah. It wasn't really. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And so then you have Sylvia at her medicine cabinet when Fran has the rash, has anchovy paste in the medicine cabinet.
That horrific wallpaper.
Oh yeah, she's wallpapering. And
oh my gosh, she thinks it's a hickey, the rash.
I know.
Oh, and that's
oh my
just
god,
the...
when Fran says it's running all down my body, mazel tov.
That's the worst when you have a rash. Like, oh,
yeah,
it's so painful. It's so awful.
Do you guys have any known allergies?
No,
nothing like this. But my sister had terrible, terrible eczema for that she, in fact, she has her new book coming out this week called Allergic, Megan Wagner Lloyd, my sister. Oh. It's her first graphic novel, and it's all a kind of loosely based on her own life experiences as a little girl getting horrible eczema.
Oh, wow.
When she's around practically everything, and particularly any kind of chemicals. And that's why she started doing homeschool, was because it was so weird. In our school, we had carpet on the walls, and they decided to redo. And so there was all of this heavy odor from the carpet glue and stuff. And so she couldn't go to school because she would break out and have rash all over her whole body. It was awful. And so, yeah, that's why my sister started homeschool.
Oh, wow.
She was literally allergic to school.
Oh, my gosh.
It was awful. But yeah, we get them at the pharmacy, which is really funny scene. And Cece's there. What are you getting? I don't know. What are you getting?
Oh, my gosh. And then that guy.
Yeah. But the whole scene at the event with Michael Bolton was so funny.
Yeah.
When she's just like scratching all up. It was so funny to me.
Grabbing that plant.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, too, that gown looked velvet from far away. Like, how would that be better? I'm not sure how wearing a covering. I get covering it, but at the same time, how would that make you feel better? You know?
She just didn't want people to see it. Right. The problem.
I'd be miserable.
And she says, I don't care if I have to lose a toe and keep it on ice in my purse. I'm going. Poor thing. And so then Mr. Sheffield wants to be intimate. And so they get a room. And Fran's like, well, we need to call Grace. And who knew Grace was such a chatterbox?
No. So
she's talking. And in the meantime, Fran goes to the doctors. And Scott Baio is her doctor.
Oh, Scott Baio, sorry.
But it turns out he grew up with Fran, the character, and that he is first day on the job. They give her a shot, and it makes her bloated. The shot. And you get to see Maxwell looking super sexy. It was like right out of a soap opera, which was hilarious, and I loved it.
Yes, right out of Days of Our Lives, where he came from.
Yeah. And in the bloated reaction, it happens with prednisone, cortisone, Toblerone.
Yes.
And Sylvia, I have an enlarged daughter.
Oh my gosh.
That was funny.
There's six times as much as you to love. We find out that she's allergic to the pumpkin and the tortellini in the soup. So it's all Sylvia's fault. Niall says that he uses sage, and Cece says that she's allergic to sage. And Niall says, I thought time was your enemy. It's really funny. And so then Mr. Sheffield asks her out again, and she's like, oh, I don't think we can right now, because she's still all swollen. And so, yeah, it's just really funny. I mean, just the whole scene at the party was, to me, absolutely hilarious. So the fashion in this, she starts out with a tartan plaid skirt suit with a red turtleneck, and which I thought was pretty cute on her.
Yeah.
And then she has a tiger striped suit skirt ensemble.
That like matching bigger jacket.
Yeah. Yes. Very matchy matchy. This was Moschino. And then she's got the long sleeve black dress, kind of velvety dress with like a kind of collar, mock turtleneck kind of situation.
I did think she looked really pretty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I loved her hair again. I thought that hair looked amazing.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and then the final, she's in the blue robe with the coffee cups on them. So, overall, what would you give this episode, Larry?
I think I'm going to go with a 9 on this episode. I thought it was really funny.
Wow.
Colleen, what about you?
You know what? I'll do the same. The rash part was, I mean, the scratching and the Michael Bolt part was so funny. I'll go with 9 as well.
I agree. I will also give it a 9. I thought it was really funny. So, okay. Then we have episode 12, and this is another celebrity episode that Fran ends up washing off the famous mole of the big star. And what do you think? Do you think it works better having fake stars or having actual stars? You know what I'm saying? Like in this episode, it's an imaginary fake star. Versus if they had used an actual celebrity.
Sometimes I think the fake one, just because, like, obviously the actor is game for anything.
Yeah. That's what I kind of think, too. Was she a soap opera actor?
I think she was a nighttime soap. I want to say, like, was it Falcon Crest or one of those shows or something like that? You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Something it's a like
great-
that.
Great name, Margot Lang. I feel like that really feels like a soap star kind of name. But she is, so then there's just all kinds of shenanigans. Things just get worse and worse and worse. And then you have the scene with Fran and Maxwell where he says, "I just don't trust you anymore." And that's such a devastating scene. It's really sad.
It's sad.
So, but the opening is absolutely hilarious, I think, when she is fighting with the gardener in the background. Died laughing. And he says, "Forgive me, there's a wandering Jew on the terrace."
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny. And she's. And the poor gardener is like, what, does she knock him out or something? Get his clothes? And it's ridiculous, but it made me laugh. And they're going to be making a Marie Antoinette musical is the idea or play. And and so Fran sprays Margot, removes her mole. And they say, trust is the most important thing in a relationship. And Mr. Jones said, "The only secret safe with you is your age." So Cindy Adams was a real person. They're a real gossip lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know real. That.
Yep. And she, this was one of the only, cameos or whatever that she ever did. She was only has 3 credits on IMDb. One is the nanny.
She seems so mild compared to what the gossip is now or what TMZ is. I know. Like. It's so different now.
Her and oh gosh, what's her name? I can't think of the name.
Liz Smith.
Yeah,
she mentioned they were the right big... before she turned her. Yeah, right before she turned around.
Big on the New York Post was her big. Thing, and yeah, gossip columnist and writer, still alive. She's still alive. 90 years old.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so
not hunting for gossip anymore, I assume.
And I guess gossip perfume was actually real as well. It was a real thing.
Oh
no way! Wow.
Yeah, that's what.
Don't get any ideas, Harvey Levin.
My gosh.
For a men's cologne, please. Oh,
yeah. No. Yeah, that's right, TMZ cologne. Oh no. And so she meets Fran and Sylvia at the doctor's, and she overhears Cindy overhears them talking about the mole. It gets released, and Maxwell is furious about it, and saying, "Do you hate me? He says, "You and I can't have a relationship if I can't trust you. Now it seems obvious that I can't."
Marp.
Oh, that so is sad. Painful.
I would be so, I don't know, I'd be crushed if someone told me that.
Yeah. And she says, when you watch your mother fry up your Mr. Potato Head, it scars you. And he says, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't talk to me again. This was at the engagement way back. But yeah, he's really upset. It's devastating. And oh, they have such chemistry as a couple that they obviously eventually I know they're going to get together, but they just sell any scene they're in, I feel like, so well.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's a really funny scene when Sylvia runs off with the cake, runs yeah, upstairs.
That was hilarious.
I love that. And Fran storms into Margot's apartment, and Margot says, what's wrong with you? Don't you know everything's fake? Fake, 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 fake. And so then they come up with a plan of they're going to make beauty marks. And so they're going to manufacture them. This is going to be great. And so then he spills the beans about her mole business, and he was trying to impress Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, and he tells and now says that you thought they would be impressed with the mole story. Yeah, he's like, these are the men who came up with the 2,000-year-old man skit, and you thought you would impress them with the mole story. And so then he feels bad, and so he proposes to Fran because he doesn't want her to be mad at him, and Fran realizes that she doesn't want to trick Mr. Sheffield into marrying her. And I don't want a man out of guilt. 12 generations of fine women just rolled over. So she lets him out of it. And he says, only this time, I'm not sure I really wanted to get out of it. Oh, which, you love that. So good. We're getting closer and closer to the big engagement.
Yeah, I know. It's coming.
It's so exciting. I can't wait. Only 2 episodes left.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a weird ending, personally.
It was weird. It was like very sad and like left it hanging.
I don't know. Yeah, you're kind of like, I mean, why would you ever want to propose like that?
Yeah.
You know, like to be like, I don't know if I wanted her to, you know, get out of it or, you know, let me free. I don't know. It's kind of like, okay, the sentiment is cute, but the scenario is still quite strange.
Yeah, I can see that. He's starting to realize that he really does love her, but he's still being stubborn and stupid. But yeah, that's definitely, you definitely wouldn't want it to like actually be a real proposal in those circumstances. But at least she kind of realizes that. But yeah, so this one's a pretty good one. I think it has some really funny moments. So I'm going to give this one an 8 as well. What about you, Colleen?
I'm going to go just slightly lower than this one, 7.5. It was funny, but it wasn't as good as the other two.
What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, I was going to go with a 7 on this one.
Okay, very good. All right, so that's it. We did it. We have, like fashion? I said. Oh, yeah. I forgot fashion. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the fashion in this one was started with that gardener outfit, of course. And then she has a black suit skirt with pink and yellow plaid and a black shirt. I like that one, actually. It was like a tartan kind of plaid. That was Anna Sui was the name of the designer.
Oh, okay.
I thought that looked really good on her.
Yeah.
And it was good. Then she has this weird red suit with stars and vertical stripes. It was strange. It was, I didn't like it very much.
No, it was very weird.
Yeah,
it looked like she would need to have like a baton and was like in a flag line or something.
Yes.
To me. And that was Todd Oldham
was it. Oh, I didn't like
disappointing.
It.
Disappointing. He's on a missing streak, I guess, recently.
Yeah. And then she has a black jacket that she puts over it. And then she has this like red kind of shag skirt suit outfit. I don't know how to explain it, with this sort of feathery collar with a black striped shirt underneath. And it's Betsy Johnson. And I didn't care for it. And she has a red short bob wig.
Oh, no.
And then she has a black and white checkered shirt with a white kind of vinyl-y skirt and a black belt. And this looked really Moschino, but it's not, it wasn't on any of the sites, but
yeah, it was cute,
but not verified. And anyway, it was pretty cute though. I liked it. So yeah, that's fashion. I almost forgot. But yeah, we have two more episodes. And then, like I said, we will do a full episode on the engagement. It's very exciting. So let us know your thoughts of these three episodes. You can find us on Twitter at FrankCast14. We'd love to hear what you think. And Larry, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube as well as Instagram and Twitter, all at LC Screen Talk.
Great. And Colleen?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at LELELELE44094. And our Frankcast Instagram is Frankcast1993.
Great. And yeah, thanks so much. And let us know what you think of these episodes. And make sure you're following the Hallmarkies Podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media. We've got some really good stuff coming up, and we'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.